This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan.
Callum McSwiggan.
On FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by a very, very special guest, a very, very good friend of mine. It is David. David, I cannot pronounce your surname. You're going to have to help me. Olshanetsky.
Olshanetsky.
How long have we been friends now?
You first taught me my A-levels, so that's like a
Did I?
Yeah, you always forget this story.
I do forget this story. Remind me.
So I was doing a documentary for my EPQ, which was about men's body image and like men's health and stuff. And obviously, you were a great activist, and I thought, like, you're the person I need to interview for this. So we did a Skype, and...
I do remember this happening, and I think it's very sweet that you thought, I was the person that you would come to speak to about that. Did you interview like lots of different people though?
So we interviewed three people. Honestly, it was such a banging documentary. Like one day I just want to like get all the clearance down so I could just put it on YouTube.
Yeah, I've never seen, you've never sent it to me, right?
No, because they told us not to share it until it had been graded in case someone like plagiarized it. So I could easily share it now. But it was you, it was Dylan Jones, who is the editor of GQ magazine.
Yes, yes. Also a friend of mine, shout out to Dylan, love Dylan.
And then it was, I blanked on his name because I didn't actually pick him, but we contacted a modeling agency and just like, can we speak to one of your male models?
Okay, nice.
So we had one of their models talk to us. So thank you so much. I'm sorry that I don't remember your name.
No, the thing is, David, we've been friends all this time and I can never remember how to pronounce your surname. Do you know what you're saved as in my phone?
Oh, kind of, I think.
You're in my phone. You're saved as David O. Mike Wazowski.
Oh!
From Monsters, Inc.
Oh, there we go.
Because that kind of sounds like your surname.
I mean, kind of.
It's really difficult to pronounce. There's a lot of letters there, and it trips me up every single time.
People should know that anytime Callum texts me, like, normally people don't introduce themselves when they text someone or be like, hi, so-and-so in a text. Like, that's very formal.
Yeah.
He will always...
Try with your surname.
He'll be like, hi, David, oh, so squishy, or hi, David, oh, my God. Like, he'll just, like, start with, like, the first two letters or something, and then he'll give up.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm doing my best. The thing I love about you as well, David, is that you are probably I was just saying to the lovely producer, Lissy, before the show, that you are probably the hippest, youngest, coolest person that I know. And I know cool people don't say words like hip. But you are, like, every single time you text me, you use all these, like, young slang words. And honestly, 95% of the time, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I wish my friends agreed with you. I wish my friends thought I was hip.
But as a 27-year-old man who is completely out of the loop of what the kids are into these days, when I speak to you, I feel like I'm speaking to the coolest person on earth.
Okay, but again, I feel like I will literally reference something from, like, a Netflix show or a tweet that has 100k retweets.
Sure.
And you'll be like, I don't get it.
I never know what you're talking about. I literally never
have. I think it's less me being hip and more Callum slowly becoming naive to pop culture.
I'm just becoming really old and ancient and just completely out of the loop, I think. How old are you, David? You're like, what, 13 years old?
I'm 12 next month.
No, really? How many are you?
I had my birthday last month. I'm now 20.
And you're 20? Oh, you're no longer a teenager.
Oh, I know. It's so gross.
Because you, for ages, you were like my one designated teenage friend.
I think you should have the one. I think now that I'm...
I do have a new one.
Oh,
I do have a new teenage friend now. Yeah, he's replaced you, so...
Okay, well, in a few weeks he'll be here.
yeah, he will. Well, it is a pleasure to have you on the show, David. Today we're going to be having lots of fun. We've got lots of things lined up. We've got lots of fun games and things. And at the end of the show, we will be reacting live to people's sex confessions. So if you are listening and you have a naughty confession or even a not so naughty confession that you want to share with us, you can do that anonymously by emailing callum@fubarradio.com, and David and I will be reacting to those later. And if you just have any general questions about sex and relationships, neither David or I are experts, but we would love to give those questions a bash, so do send those in as well. And yeah, let's have a little bit of Ariana Grande.
Tell me something I need to know, then take my breath and never let it go. If you just let me invade your space, I'll take the pleasure, take it with the pain. And if in the moment I bite my lip, baby, in that moment you'll know.
You know what one of my favourite memories of you is, David?
Oh, I'm excited. What is it?
It is the night. Was it? I think it might have been New Year's Eve. Maybe it was New Year's
no,
Eve.
No, we didn't. We've not.
Did we not
no,
spend New Year's Eve together?
Yet.
It was at Hannah Witton's house party.
Eurovision.
Eurovision. Yeah, that was
the
just
the gayest way. To...
And I think was that the first time we ever like properly hung out as like best buds. We're best buds now.
I think there might have. No, we did a movie. We did. We saw Get no, Snatched with Amy Schumer.
I don't even remember seeing that movie. So that was you clearly very memorable.
Yeah,
you to me. It. Did we go to see a movie and I didn't like it?
Yeah,
I love Amy Schumer though.
I think it ran a really long.
Yeah, I think I may have fallen asleep.
I honestly probably.
but the house party we went to,
yes.
Hannah gave out sex toys to everyone.
Party.
And I remember I got myself, she gave me like a whole pile of sex toys and I was so excited to like go home and try them all out and I'd like filled my bag with them and you had a little pile of sex toys as well.
Oh my God, I know where this is going.
And do you know where this is going?
I know.
And then you were really, really upset at the end of the party because somebody stole all your sex toys.
Yeah.
But it was a really, really hot guy at the party.
It was him.
It was him.
You know who did it?
Yeah, because
suddenly I've never heard this.
He had no sex because she like auctioned them off throughout the night, and he had no sex toys.
Quick,
and then you had all the sex toys, and then he had sex toys again.
Okay, by auction, you're making it sound like we were bidding on these. She was throwing them at people.
Yeah, but it was like she was like auctioning them off in the capacity that like, who wants this one? Whoever yelled loudest got it. Like that's an auction. Like no money was involved,
Wait.
But it was like an auction.
Me and Callum have very different opinions on who's hot. So
this
like he's like
guy.
The hot guy. So in my head, I'm like, okay, who was the ugliest?
He
that's
was
who Callum
so,
thought was
no,
hot.
We both agreed that he was the most beautiful man that either of us had ever laid eyes on. He was the one. You know that song Sexual. Yeah, the blonde
no.
one.
Oh, I didn't
yeah.
want to say in case. No, but people can
like
go back
whispering.
To her photos and be like, oh, that was him.
Oh, I don't care if they find out who I think's attractive. But like,
it's less that's more that he stole sex toys.
He was the one doing that. He was doing the saxophone. He was being a sack anyway. Anyway,
okay.
That's my favorite.
Well, he was
memory
only blonde, so I know who you're talking about now. Oh, that really changed my opinion of him.
Yeah, no, he's you know, a hot guy steals your sex toys. Worst things have happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play a game. This is the Wheel of Misfortune. And in this game, we have a fabulous wheel here, David.
Oh, wow.
Marvel at the amazing wheel. Beautiful,
it's crazy.
Isn't it? It's the most insane wheel you've ever seen. And on this wheel, we have a whole load of different fetishes. And you are going to spin the wheel and it is going to land on a different fetish. And you are going to have to figure out what that fetish is by the name of it alone. Now, they all tend to be kind of in Latin. So if you can speak Latin, that's a massive help in this game. Otherwise, you're basically just fumbling around in the dark.
I'm used to that.
Do you understand the rules?
Yeah.
Would you like to give my fabulous wheel a spin?
Yeah.
Go on then.
There we go.
It has landed on catoptronophilia. Catoptronophilia.
Are you saying that phonetically?
Yep. Catoptronophilia.
Okay.
That is 100% the pronunciation.
Okay.
What do you think that might be, David?
I'd say it's a fetish for... Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so... The thing is, like, I'm obviously focusing on the word cat, but it's definitely not animal-based. So I think maybe it's, like, hair-based?
Hair-based? Okay.
Maybe, like, because cats are, like, hairy.
Okay, I see the logic. I mean, you're completely wrong, but I see the logic you're going there. There is absolutely no clues in the name. But actually, hair was kind of close. It's like very loosely and very vaguely connected to hair. That's your clue.
Maybe like the opposite is hairless. They like people who are hairless?
No.
So people are just, I said this, super hairy. They're like into hair.
No, it's like, imagine like you're doing your hair. It could be related to like doing your hair.
They just like
possible.
Seeing people like with like hairbrushes or sniffing hair?
No. Absolutely
eating
not.
Hair.
No. It's like
shaving people.
That's a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
Like
yeah,
I keep when yeah. I'm perusing the deepest, darkest parts of the internet, which I do sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes I've seen these video suggestions come up, and it's like shaving fetish videos, and it's like they'll be like having sex with the person like while like shaving them. Like, that's a thing.
I have a friend who's in a relationship, and I like, that makes it sound so sus that I'm like, I have a friend, but I'm single as fuck, so it's definitely not about me. And they literally were like, oh yeah, the most romantic thing you can do to someone is shave them, because that's so much trust in someone, because it's like, you're not putting them in pain, but the fact you have a blade, like, so close to their skin, and you're, like, shaving them. I don't know if they mean face, or, like, crotch, or, like, what they're talking about, but I get the logic, but that's not something I would ever do.
Romantic, though?
Because you're, like, putting so much trust in them. Like, you're just laying there and they're shaving you.
I understand that it's hella intimate. And, like, I would I would have to be so close to the person to be like, all right, then, I'll let you shave me, or to even have to shave them. But, like, romantic is a bit of a stretch, David.
Yeah.
Yeah? I don't know. Maybe
we're
there
both
is romance moments. In
we
that.
Both don't. We aren't into it, but we're not going to judge
I
someone
I might
for
be
doing.
Into it. You don't know that I'm not into it. Okay, I'm not. I know. I'm not into it. No. So catoptronophilia was indeed the arousal to having sex in front of mirrors.
Where did hair come?
Well, because like standing in front of a mirror doing your hair, I was like maybe like it was a very loose
that was
connection.
A reach.
I was trying to give you a clue. It wasn't a very good clue.
No, it wasn't. So. Is it to themselves or is it just mirrors themselves?
I think it's just like the idea of having sex in front of a mirror. So I guess the whole point is that you can see yourself having sex.
Right.
And I think that's pretty common. Like you hear a lot about like rich guys and things like putting mirrors on their ceiling above the bed so that they can watch themselves.
Well, I just want to be like attractive enough one day that I can just do that to myself.
I think you're plenty attractive,
David.
Thank
you so much.
I used to have a friend who used to actually stand in front of a full-size mirror naked and masturbate while looking at himself. So, you know...
Well, I know that they always make... So there's very few YouTubers that I will watch. Callum being one. Another being Trisha Paytas, because I will watch a mukbang all day long. And the last is David Dobrik, who I just think is one of the funniest people on the
Who's
planet.
Who's David Dobrik? Tell me about
him. I always talk about him to you. You need to watch him.
Is he the one, the beautiful one?
Like I said, we have very differing opinions on people. He has very shaggy hair. He's Slovakian. And okay. he was in the news recently because of the whole DACA program that Trump repealed. He couldn't go to VidCon Australia, the video convention there. He couldn't do so much stuff because his family came over illegally from Slovakia.
Okay, wow.
And the rest of the family's protected because they had three more children in the States. But he isn't because he wasn't born there. So it's like a weird loophole. So that's why he was in the news recently. But he's one of the funniest people. I will watch the videos back to back for an hour. All his videos are 4 minutes and 20 seconds long, which is the dumbest joke. And that describes the show perfectly. It's all scripted vlogs, or like 90% scripted. He's really, really funny. I think everyone should watch him. But there's always recurring jokes about one of his like most beautiful male model friends called Todd, who's called Toddy Smith or Toddy Eric on Instagram. Uh-huh. Please go look at him because he's beautiful. They always make jokes that his whole masturbation regime is just going into the bathroom and staring in the mirror.
Wow.
And if I looked like him, I would.
Yeah, like I wish I had the confidence in my own body to be like, yeah, fuck yeah.
He's shirtless in every vlog. I'm into it. I think that's 90% of the reason I still watch.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, David.
Yeah, you know me.
All right, take the wheel for another little spin. This sound effect doesn't sound anything like a wheel.
I'm kind of into it.
It has landed on Selismophilia.
Okay. For some reason, my brain went straight away to like rubber or plastic.
Oh, okay.
Am I going down the right path?
Absolutely not even
close. Oh, I was so proud of myself. Okay.
I've got an enormous clue for you, though.
Okay.
This will really, really help. So it's Selismophilia. And your clue is that there's actually a silent P on the front. Because I'm sure that's really going to help you. Or maybe it's not a silent P.
Is it bikes? Is it to do with bikes, like cycling?
No, it's not. Though the way I'm saying the word is a bit of a clue.
Repeat it.
Selismophilia.
Selena Gomez?
No.
Is it something she would be into?
Perhaps. I think I would probably maybe be a little bit into this.
You're into a lot of things. That's not a help at all.
I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. I could see it being quite endearing and cute.
Teddy bears?
No.
Why didn't I take those Latin lessons my parents always pushed me to
did
do?
Did you actually take Latin
no, lessons? No, they wanted me to, but I didn't.
You should have. You could have been acing this quiz.
I probably still would have failed.
And instead, you just sat there and you just continued disappointment to me.
I continue disappointment for a lot of people every day, especially myself.
All right, would you like to know the answer?
Yes.
It is the arousal to stuttering.
I don't think I'd necessarily be aroused by stutters, but every time I see someone with a stutter, they're always like the most beautiful people.
Aren't they? Why? Yeah. Right? I think in a lot of like movies and TV shows, they often have like, you know, a lovely cute boy who's got a bit of a stutter, and I think they always like make them exceptionally attractive.
But so it's
kind of endearing. Yeah, do you think?
Yeah.
Like it comes with a, oh, who was that? Oh, when I was little, I fancied the hell out of him and he had a stutter. Gareth Gates.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't around for that yet. But
you weren't born then. You
were alive. I was born in 2008.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a stutter. And like when I was like a little 12-year-old, I had a little bit of a thing for
I think it's because it makes them not. This is going to sound really bad. I'm probably going to get so much hate. But it's sort of that, like, not necessarily weak, but that's sort of like they're not perfect quality. Like,
yeah.
There's something that's about them that they look so beautiful, but then they have this small imperfection.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what I'm always drawn to in people.
I think everyone's drawn to, like, everyone wants to be a helper or a solver. They people are always drawn to people with problems. And that's sort of fun to know that there's always someone out there doing worse than you.
Words to live by, David. Words to live by. I think, I don't think I would be aroused by a stutter. Mm-hmm. But I would. I think I could be attracted to it in like a romantic way, and like, oh, I feel like this is slightly problematic as well. But I always kind of have this desire to almost be like a protector. And if somebody's like got a little bit of a stutter, it's like, oh, let me look after you. Not that people with stutters need looking after, but yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Well, that's what we were both saying, is that there is an element of like helping them that is interesting.
Yeah.
Which is probably like super fetishizing of them.
Yeah, which is I think where it's an issue, because I guess a stutter is, I don't know if it's considered a minor disability.
I think
or?
It is. Well, a kid at my school had a stutter, and he would always get extra time on his exams that other people with disabilities would get. Even written exams. I don't know how his stutter affected his written exams, but...
but it did.
He got A stars and everything.
All right, David, take the wheel for another spin.
Okay, let's go for it.
Oh, you were aggressive that time.
I like the extra sound effect.
Okay, it is landing on psychrophilia.
Okay.
Psychrophilia. Also has a silent P, if that's any help to you.
Double P psychrophilia?
Psychrophilia.
What's the first letter without the P?
P.
So it's PP.
PS.
PO.
P.
So
okay.
I'm not even great at spelling.
Psychrophilia. Or sicrophilia.
Can you give me an object that would be involved in this? Like,
Yes. An object that would be involved in psychrophilia would be Ugg boots.
Oh, shoes.
No.
Oh, but there's some videos of people doing stuff with shoes. That's
yeah,
why
there's
I
a lot of videos of people. You know, foot fetish is the biggest fetish in the world above everything else.
I find feet so gross. I'm a socks-on person.
I don't find feet gross, but I also don't find them hot. Like, I know, like, a lot of people, if I take my socks off, they'll be like, oh my God, get the fuck away from me.
By
I've never been like
time,
that.
It seems like quite a normal, like, fetish, but I don't think I've ever encountered a friend. Like, my friends tell me the weirdest stuff, and I've not yet heard one person tell me they have a foot fetish.
I dated a guy with a foot fetish once.
Were you into it? Like, did it make you more into a foot fetish?
No, not particularly, but I'm not. I'm also like, to me, a foot is just literally a part of it's just a part of the body. Like, it could be an elbow, it could be an ear.
Well, saying that, I know a lot of people that are into, like, hands. Like, just the way a hand appears.
Hands are beautiful.
I get the feet element because I'm not into it. This isn't my fetish clearing this up. But I do think, like, I'll look at someone's hand more than I would look at someone's foot.
Mm. Yeah, no, I kind of see what you're saying, especially if that, like, I like a workman's hand, somebody with, like, nice, big hands that look like they've, like, lived a hard life, like, these hands have, like, done labor.
So what we've discovered is you like people that have, like, rough, like, the most...
yep, that's basically me. All right, another clue. So you've got Ugg boots.
Yes.
And an ice cube tray.
Like, matted fur? Do they want to see, like, things get wet and then, like, mat out?
No. I think that's a pretty good clue. I think
yes, but you also know the answer.
I do. Okay, Ugg boots, an ice cube tray, and what else? A hot water bottle.
Oh, like things of varying temperatures? I don't know what temperature an Ugg boot would be.
Close. Very, very close.
Oh, wait, Ugg boots because it's cold outside. Do they want to be naked outside, like when it's cold or hot, like something along the lines of that?
You were almost there and then you got carried away with being naked outside. You know what, David? I've had enough of you.
Oh.
It is the arousal to being cold. Those were good clues.
But the hot water bottle threw me off.
Yeah, because you're cold. You need like little hot water bottle.
I was just thinking about the heat of it.
I don't know. I don't understand why anyone would be turned on by being cold. Nothing like being hot is a turn on for me. Like if you like
wrapped
up in a bed
with someone.
Isn't
being cold meant to make you not aroused? Because that's what they always say. Like, oh, take a cold shower.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and like whenever I take a shower, my penis shrivels up. It's
same thing goes when you have a hot shower, Callum.
No, when you have a hot shower, it gets all like big and like I. So yeah, like I you know, arousal to being cold, it's a thing.
Would you be into it?
I think like if a guy was like, oh, let's go camping because it'll be cold and we can like get warm together, like that I could kind of be into, like snuggling up for warmth, that's hot. But like the cold itself,
I feel like I got a migraine from that comment.
Yeah, sorry about it. All right, give me one last spin, David. Okay. I was hoping you'd make the noise. Come on. Oh, come on, commit.
But why do I need to make the noise when there's a real button here?
Let down, David. Had to resort to my buttons. Your last one is nasolingus. Oh, it doesn't end in philia, which is interesting because they almost always do.
It honestly wouldn't make a difference to me. I did not take those Latin lessons.
Nasolingus.
Okay, well, obviously the beginning makes it sound like it's to do with noses.
Okay, yeah.
Am I far off?
Yeah, you're correct. It is to do with noses, but it's something very specific about a nose.
They're like big noses.
No.
Small noses?
No.
Nose jobs.
No, it's doing something with a nose.
Oh, please don't tell me they put something in the nostril.
They do not put anything in the nostril.
Oh, I'm so close. I just want to get one.
Come
right.
on, take a look.
Repeat
at my nose.
It.
Take a look at my nose.
Flaring. Nose flares.
No, what would you like to do to my nose? You can do anything you want to my nose, David. What would you like to do to it?
I was going to make such a mean joke. I'm not going to make it.
Oh, no, go on. Go on. Say
no,
a mean joke.
I was just going to be like, oh, Bella Hadid. Like, let's just get like a ski slope.
Monster. Yeah. You're a monster. Come on. There's only so many things you can do to a nose.
It's like blowing your nose.
No.
Not that you need to.
Right, but. No. You had your chance. It was sucking on a person's nose. The arousal.
You thought that's something I wanted to do to your nose?
Yeah, of course I did. I've got a beautiful nose. Why would you not want to suck on my nose? Are you saying I have an ugly nose, David?
I mean, I did make the Bella Hadid comment.
I didn't know what that meant. This is what I mean. This is what I was saying at the start
but
of the show.
That's not even a hip reference. That's just talking about a person.
I don't know who that is.
I could talk about like some king from the 1700s and you'd be like, oh, David, you're so hip. I'm like, no, it's a history lesson.
Yeah, I have no idea. Look, and also the producers also don't know what you're talking about, David.
People know who Bella Hadid is, right?
I have no idea who Bella Hadid is.
No? Oh, okay, kind of. One of the producers.
Presumably
do you know who Gigi Hadid
nose.
Is? Gigi Hadid.
I have no, Gigi. Not a clue.
Oh, okay, we got a thumbs up. We got one thumbs up.
Explain to me who these people are.
I'm very excited that you brought me on for an episode just to discuss. Can we do an hour of Gigi Hadid time?
You have one sentence to explain who this person is.
Rich Californian sisters, Hilton-esque, mom on Real Housewives.
That's why I don't know who these people are.
That wasn't a proper sentence.
I don't. Oh, we got a picture.
Got a Bella Hadid. That's
she's
the nose.
Pretty.
Before and after. That's before and after.
But she's got a lovely nose. She's got a white.
Can people who aren't seeing the same photos as us right now Google like Bella Hadid nose job and see the before and after? Because everyone always says she has the best nose job. I think her nose was not bad before.
I think her nose
was
lovely before.
I think she grew up in an environment and a community where every mom on the Real Housewives gets a million. Plastic surgery. So she definitely didn't need to. But if you look at it, her nose is stunning now. Not that it wasn't before, but they always say, like, in all the Daily Mail surveys, surveys, like, when people come in for a nose job, they say, like, I want the Bella Hadid nose.
Oh, really?
So she's apparently, but she's 20, like, 2 or something.
Yeah,
she's too young for a nose job, in my opinion.
I think she looked lovely before. But if she's happy and it makes her comfortable and she's done it for, you know, the right reasons.
Fun fact, if someone says they're getting, what do you call that, like, nose problem, like, where you can't breathe properly?
Oh, like, yeah, like not breathing. I don't know what it's called, but yeah.
But they, it's the, so whenever you hear somebody say, oh, I didn't get a
sinusitis.
No, it's like the producers are being so
apnea. Sleep apnea.
No, it's like
just shouting out words.
Okay.
Now.
Anyways, I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue, and everyone at home was like probably screaming it right now. But they, somebody was like, "Oh, I didn't
asthma."
I didn't get a nose job to change how my nose appears. I got a nose job because
to help with my breathing.
It's like when one nostril works and the other doesn't.
Okay.
Anyways, people say that, and they always use that as an excuse. And all through the 80s and 90s, a lot of celebrities would say, "I didn't get a nose job to change how I look. I love how I look. I got a nose job because one of my nostrils wasn't working properly," or whatever the term for that was. And the Gabby Show, who's on David Dobrik's vlogs, in one of his things, went to a nose surgeon, and he told her, "Yeah, that's a lie. If anyone says that, they're lying. Because when we do the surgery, we don't have to change how your nose looks at all. You might have a different sized nostril than before, but the physical structure of your nose
really?
Is the same." And so if you hear someone tell you that they got a nose job to help with like breathing issues or whatever,
it's not true.
Well, you can get a nose job, but if their nose looks different, then that's when they're lying.
Wow. Yeah, because I have actually heard that before, that people have had nose jobs to help with breathing issues.
But
and I always thought that
you shouldn't notice. If they got it for that reason, you would not notice that they got a nose job.
Well, mind-blowing information, David.
There we go.
You've blown my mind right open.
I'm throwing facts out today. Well, that was Gigi Hadid talk.
Still don't really understand who that is. All right, let's have a little bit of Rita Ora.
Time flies by when the night is young. Daylight shines on an undisclosed location. Location. Bloodshot eyes looking for the sun. Paradise delivered and we call it a vacation. Vacation.
I just realised, David, we haven't actually talked about what it is you actually do. And to be honest, I have no idea. I don't understand. It's something to do with Tumblr.
as many people of this generation, my, like, what I do can't really be described in one word. I'm not like, oh, I'm an architect or I'm an accountant.
You're a Tumblr influencer.
I feel Are like you? That's the easiest. Like, if I had to, like, say it to, like, someone who is, like, 80 years old, they probably still wouldn't get it. Yeah. But that's the most simplified way of describing it.
Sure.
So when I was 14, I made Tumblr. And it's
you
just,
made Tumblr. Well,
I invented Tumblr.
David,
my name is David
created
Karp.
Tumblr.
it was really fun. I'm so glad I sold to Yahoo and I'm a billionaire now, which is why I took the tube here. So I made my own Tumblr blog.
Yeah.
Using a great product David Karp created in 2007. And when I was, like, using it, I wasn't really using it how a lot of other people I thought were using it.
Sure.
Tumblr is super similar to YouTube in the sense that there's so many subcultures.
Yeah.
So there probably was other people using it like this at the time, but I wasn't hyper aware of them.
Okay.
The Tumblr people were showing me, like, that, or that people were aware of, were either super aesthetic and the generic, like, pictures of boxed water
that's
or Mercedes
the kind of
G-Wagon
stuff I,
or, you
that's
know,
the nonsense I
Lord
reblog.
Just, like, sat down, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or I've seen the stuff you reblog.
I do reblog a lot of naked men and inappropriate
things.
Which is
why I have your account muted. I'm joking. And then the other side is like really like shit posts or like memes or just like things that are over the top meant to just make you laugh but in the dumbest way.
And that's what you do, make people laugh in a dumb way.
Yeah, but I like making people laugh in a dumb way.
Your blog is very good. I've been following it for a while now. Yeah. and it does make me
so
happy.
So it's grown and grown and grown and... in, like, when we talk about, like, subcultures on Tumblr, there's a few that they have defined. So when you join Tumblr, you click, like, this is what I'm interested in.
Yes.
So I'm one of the biggest LGBTQ accounts.
Wow.
When it comes to humor, I'm one of the biggest accounts.
Wow.
It's really fun, so I try to mix the two topics. So I'll try to share stuff about, you know, activism, or here's, like, really important GoFundMes that you should look into, or protests that might be happening in major cities near you. So I'll focus on, like, London or LA or New York. Things like that, but then I'll also put in, like, dumb posts about, like, Halloween people handing out photos of Hilary Duff.
Amazing.
Instead of candy this
year.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Did people actually do that?
No, I got into this new trend, which is called deep fried memes.
Okay.
Where you just make a meme look really like someone's burnt a piece of paper.
Sure.
And it's a meme saying, like, this year for Halloween, people are going to be really surprised when I don't hand out candy and instead I hand out blank. So I said, printed out photos of Hilary Duff.
Nice.
And it's a photo of her, like, throwing up the peace sign, but it's just, like, burnt to shreds.
Love it.
So I like to make people laugh. But then I also have, like, a lot of other pursuits. So I have a really amazing book that I've been working on for a while now. And it's been, like, a really on-off process because obviously I'm also a student. I go to Goldsmiths. So I know there's people that have gone to Goldsmiths that have been on FUBAR Radio before, so shout out to them.
you got your fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah, and the book's really fun. We have people like Callum Scott in it. Dustin Lance Black was one of my favorite interviews as well. Ollie Alexander from Years and Years, who I know is one of your big crushes.
Can you not say that on the radio? But I am very attracted to Ollie Alexander.
We have a lot of fun people. And then I got to go to New York for a week to do work there. And while I was there, we did Andy Cohen, who hosts Watch What Happens Live. So I've just tried to really spread it out.
You've got to work with a lot of amazing people. I mean, and you're 20 years old as well. So that's really, really impressive.
Yeah.
If I had got to work with those kind of names at 20, I would have been a very, very, very happy puppy.
Well, it's been a lot of hard work. It's been like pushing stuff out nonstop. And like I have a really amazing agent that has been like super supportive of the project and really like pushed for it to do really well. And he's like number one cheerleader for this project. So I'm really glad I have him on board.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations on doing so many awesome things that you have probably told me about before, but I just didn't listen to
or
you when you did. All right, we're going to do some LGBT+ news now. So I'm bringing you a couple of stories from the news over the past week. So the first story that I have here is this. Leaked emails have revealed that a string of shocking orders from Catholic Church bosses are urging priests to turn down the funerals of gay people. The emails ask priests to consider whether the deceased was gay and if they had repented before dying. It then goes on to say that these sinners should be denied funerals to avoid scandal amongst other churchgoers. David just rolled his eyes, and I think that is 100% my response to this as well. It's just such an enormous eye roll that this is going on, and as well that this isn't going on this is going on behind closed doors as well. Yeah. This is something that they're trying to keep secret, that they're trying to actively encourage people to do in the church, and that they're trying to keep secret. And it's just wrong on so many levels. What do you even do if you're denied a funeral? Do you just, like, toss a corpse into a field? Like,
well,
what?
No, there's,
I don't understand.
A lot of government things where a lot of different countries, so in the UK and in America, I think the term is pauper's funeral,
okay,
where the government will pay for you to literally just have, like, the most, like, they will, like, pick the cheapest coffin,
sure,
in a random plot of land, like, they don't even know where, like, just the cheapest one.
Yeah.
And, like, you'll have a funeral, but they're all they're paying for is basically the coffin and the piece of land. They aren't, yeah, paying for a ceremony or anything like that.
So it's not really, it's a burial rather than a,
yeah,
funeral.
It's disposing of the body,
yeah,
effectively. And that's really sad that you have to say it that way, but it is. It's just disposing of the body.
Which is really, really sad. And, yeah, and the fact that the Catholic Church think they have the right to deny people that on the grounds, on the basis of them being gay, is pretty messed up.
To be someone who is gay and, you know, still, because so many religions and so many, there's so many pieces of text you can look into that are so pro-gay and some that are so anti-gay.
Yeah.
So, and there's so much hatred in a lot of communities. So to be someone who's like, you know what, I'm gay, but I also believe so much in my God, for whatever religion you may believe in, or my higher power, it must be, like, so important to you to know that, like, oh, well, when I die, like, at least I'll be able to have, like, a religious ceremony. And, like,
yeah.
Because obviously, to be someone who holds onto your faith despite everything people are telling you, obviously, it means, like, it just sucks that, like, because obviously these decisions are happening after they're dead. It's like they can't even do anything about it.
Yeah, and you know, it says here about them repenting and things like that, which is always the whole idea of repenting sins is a pretty messed up idea to me, because, you know, you could be literally on your way to church to repent, not against homosexuality, obviously, because there is no way that it being gay just isn't a sin. I don't care what anyone says, it just isn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, repenting for other crimes and other sins, you know, if you want to believe that, that's absolutely fine. But it's the whole idea of being, you know, you could be on your way to a church to repent for something supposedly bad you did, and then you could get hit by a bus, and, you know, yeah, and that's what defines whether, you know, in this case, whether you should deserve a funeral or not. Mm-hmm. Which is it's just absurd. And it kind of plays hand in hand as well. Like, one of the other weeks recently, we were discussing a priest in Australia who wanted to deny all marriages if same-sex marriage got legalized over, right, there. So, you know, there's a lot going on with religion that goes against, you know, I don't want to generalize religions, but, you know, you hear so many things, and I just think we need to make some changes against it. And I don't think it's okay for people to continue discriminating against LGBT plus people and using religion as an excuse for that.
Right, exactly.
Our next story is a little bit more positive, which is lovely. And this is that the Disney Channel, and you may have seen this went viral everywhere. The Disney Channel aired its first ever coming out scene, and it was seen live, well, not live, but it was seen on the Disney Channel by 1.62 million people. That's a hell of a lot of people have seen this. And it basically features a young guy, he's a young teenager, and he expresses jealousy over another couple. And then he reveals that he isn't actually jealous because he likes the girl, he's actually jealous because he likes the boy, to which his friend is very supportive and accepting. And it's just, oh, my little heart, when I watched it, like, it made my heart grow to, like, 50 sizes, and I just sat there feeling all squishy and gooey, and, like, it just, it made me emotional. Like, yeah, it's a big deal for something like that to be on the Disney Channel.
And the thing is, the show Andy Mack is aimed at, like, quite a young audience, because, you know, I'm used to seeing Disney Channel associated with, like, Wizards of Waverly Place or Hannah Montana, which I'd say, like, 13, 14, maybe even 15-year-olds watch. Maybe 15's pushing it, but people who are teenagers might have seen. And teenagers definitely referenced or joked about. People still wear Hannah Montana costumes. But Andy Mack is skewing a lot younger. The characters themselves are really young as well.
Yeah.
And something I saw on Twitter, which really disappointed me, and I expected so much of a more positive reaction, was people being like, oh, like, Disney isn't doing any progress, they're just catching up to everyone else. And I was like, is this... And I saw some other people too, is this how you choose to celebrate, like, progress?
Yeah, yeah.
Because as well, all the references they were throwing, like, oh, well, so one of the references I saw was to Class, which is a Doctor Who spinoff on BBC Three, even.
Yeah.
People who watch BBC Three and a show that airs like 8, 9 p.m. is very different to someone who's going to see Andy Mack at 6 p.m.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on top of that, Class wasn't even the first. Degrassi, Canadian show, did it all the way in like 2003.
Yeah.
You know, there's been shows that have been doing it for years. So, no, Disney isn't the first to do this. But It is so monumental. And as well, this, again, it's for so much of a younger audience. Every example I keep seeing being thrown is for something a lot older. And the one that annoyed me the most was a guy that I'm sort of mutual friends with said, oh, well, like, because he obviously was, like, Wikipedia-ing or Googling as he's, like, arguing, so he wasn't even getting the right facts because it was so easy to read further down and see that he was wrong. He was like, oh, well, a PBS show called, it was an Arthur spinoff, Arthur the cartoon animal.
Yeah.
Focusing on Buster, where he travels across America. And obviously Vermont, when this episode came out, 2005, was really well known for having gay marriage. So that episode featured two turtles that were lesbian moms.
Aww.
And it's like, yeah, so that's obviously really cute, but he was using that as his defense of, oh, Disney's just catching up to something that Buster show, that Arthur spinoff did in 2005. Yeah, but having two cartoon turtles that aren't even explicitly described as lesbians but are just implied to be living in Vermont because they're lesbian moms is very different, and it's a cartoon, is very different than having, you know, a real life actor who's playing like an 11-year-old.
Yeah, is he supposed to be 11?
11 or 12.
What? That's it. That's amazing.
It's so different. Like, you can't compare.
It is different. And even if it wasn't different, it doesn't matter. Like, we don't just need this to happen one time and then it's done and dusted and we can all celebrate. Like, it happens one time. And
he's a main character, by the way. It's four main characters.
So
it's not one episode.
A big thing.
It's not a, you know, EastEnders like, oh, very special episode where a character does it and then you never really see them again. It's a main character.
So it's going to become part of the story.
Yeah, it's not just a storyline for one day. It's a storyline that we'll see carrying on.
Yeah. And it just makes me sad that people are so negative about progress.
Yeah, and,
you know,
and think about it, like, Disney's PR team looking at, oh, so people are being really negative about this. Why do we need to keep focusing or funding these programs that might have this? If we had more positive reaction to this, and obviously they just care about money and viewers, for all we know, the next series they could have commissioned could have been focusing on solely, like, a gay teen coming out,
absolutely,
or a lesbian teen, or a trans teen. Or not even a teen, but a kid.
Yeah.
So this negative reaction really disappointed me.
I think a lot of the feedback I saw as well was saying, you know, that this shouldn't be aimed at children this young, that, you know, people who are 11, 12, 13 years old don't need to be seeing this. And this is an argument that I hear said over and over again, but I couldn't disagree more. You know, I think I was starting to kind of have feelings towards men and boys, rather, when I was 8 years old. So, you know, I do think that young kids, you know, 11 years old sounds like about the perfect age to me. Mm-hmm. Kind of, they should be exposed to this kind of thing, and they should be able to see a positive coming out story. So, yeah, I really do think people should get behind this and realize that this is a positive thing. And yes, it's not enough. We do need more. We do need more LGBT plus representation everywhere. And of course we do. But that doesn't mean we should shout people down whenever we get a little bit of progress.
Exactly.
You know, all progress is a good thing.
You should be like, this is amazing, not thanks for catching up, Disney.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing. And
I agree.
We are going to celebrate it now with a little bit of Britney Spears.
Banger.
Mr. Jake Isaac is here.
Hello, love.
I read an amazing article with you in the Metro. The article talks a lot about you being a credible musician and not wanting to step away from what you believe to be the best kind of music for you.
There's always a thing of, well, I've got to pay the bills, innit? You get tempted to make music which is in the charts and or replicate something which is really current. But there's longevity in figuring out your own sound. And it's a journey. It's a hard journey, but it's worth it. Glad I stuck with the sound, and I'm glad I'm surrounded by people who have stuck with their sound over the years.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
All right, we're back, and we are going to play some Two Truths and One Lie. So for this game, David has got some truths and some lies about himself, and he's going to tell those to me, and I'm going to have to try and figure out which ones. And they're facts about yourself, right?
Just about like my life experiences I've had.
Yeah, so David's going to read those out, and I'm going to have to try and figure out when he's lying and when he's telling the truth. And, like, I love this game, but I also really, really hate handing over, like, the control to somebody else. Like, I like being in charge, and I like ridiculing other people for getting things wrong. Yeah, I like to be dominant. This is my show, goddammit. But, I'm handing over the reins to you, David, so have at it.
Three rounds. I apologize, there was Pringles in my teeth. okay, so first round. Okay, for a school charity event, the entire class signed up to sing Don't Funk With My Heart by the Black Eyed Peas and We Are Family by Sister Sledge. Mysteriously, everyone from my class ditched the assembly, and I had to perform on my own in front of 100 students and a handful of teachers, while every other class performed as a group of about 20 to 25 students.
Oh my god, wait, like, just hold up one second. So what were the two songs you had to perform by yourself?
Don't Funk With My Heart.
Don't Funk With My Heart, Black Eyed Peas, yeah.
And We Are Family by Sister Sledge. So it was going to be like back to back. Because we did shortened versions. It was a karaoke game.
And
it
okay.
was like a PlayStation 2 thing. It was just shortened versions.
And your entire class abandoned you.
Yeah, and some of them came into the gym with me and then just, like, did not show up. They were like, I don't remember what our class name was, but, like, 4C or whatever, come up. And I was stand-up all confident because I think I'm coming up with, like, 20 people. And I was the only one. And then the music's, like, cue to start playing and no one's there. And I remember one of the, because we had student council, a girl who's probably, like, 2 years older than me.
Sure.
Being like, are you sure you want to do this? Because they were, like, if I was the only one, they were fine with, like, not doing it. But I thought, like, oh, maybe they'll come in a second. So I was like,
You know when people are lying, David, they give loads of unnecessary details. And that's what you're doing right now. So I'm suspect of this one. Though, like, I'd be impressed if, like...
I apologize, little Pringles.
It's very convoluted, which makes me think that you can't possibly have made it up. But then, like, you're giving me so much detail that I'm suspicious. So I'm putting a pin in this one. Right, give me your next one.
I have to be careful about what I eat because I have a lot of allergies, and as a result, I've never had birthday cake.
Never had birthday cake?
Never. I still celebrate my birthday. I told you my birthday was a month ago, but I'll eat, like, steak or something else. Normally, it's simpler foods.
So you can't have cake at all?
I think if we tried hard enough, there's a cake out there. So I'll find Mary Berry and get her to make a cake.
Okay.
But the traditional birthday cakes you can buy or, you know, like Victoria Sponge or whatever, I can't.
Do you know, Mary Berry once made me a cake, you know?
Jealous. How was it? Was it worth it?
It was a lemon drizzle.
I shouted out Goldsmiths earlier. I just want to say, Liam, who was robbed on Bake Off, goes to my uni, and I was sat next to him on the train, and it was the week he went home. And I was like, if it was any other week, I've been like, you go, girl. And it was the week he went home, so I didn't want to say anything. And he was staring at me the whole time. He's like, and it was very clear, like, he knows that I know who he is, but he also is very clear that I'm not going to say anything. And it was the whole, like, 10-minute walk from the station to the uni, Goldsmiths, what?
When you were just pretending you didn't know who he was.
No, he could tell, but he knew I wasn't going to say anything. And I wouldn't have asked for a photo or whatever, but I just want to be like, oh, like, but I couldn't have been like, good luck, because he went home.
Sure.
So it's like, what am I to say? Like, oh, you did.
Commiserations.
I probably should have said you did great, but I didn't know what to say.
Oh, bless your little heart.
But Liam, you're part of the You Deserve Better crew with Yan and Julia. Like,
I no idea what you're talking about. And Steven, all of the things you're saying. I don't know what any of this means, David. I'm into it, though.
Okay.
I'm into it.
I just
don't understand what you're saying. All right, so your two things are, so far, we've had you were abandoned on stage and had to sing...
It wasn't a stage. Carry on.
But you had to sing Sister Sledge and Black Eyed Peas by yourself.
Yes.
Number two is that you have a shit ton of allergies and you have never eaten birthday cake in your life or any cake in your life.
Yeah.
Okay. And your third, truth or not truth...
When I was 14, I got upgraded on a long-haul flight by pretending to belong to another family.
Details. No, I need details. Come on.
So it was a flight to visit my grandparents in Israel. And in the airport, I saw there was a family and they were sat down. Sorry, Pringles. They were sat down next to me and they were really, really nice. They were like, oh, are you flying alone? And I should say I was flying alone. So it's not like I pretended like, fuck my family, I'm with them
instead. Yeah, okay, yeah.
But it was like, I pretended like, oh, I'm with these people. And they were like, oh, that's weird. Your ticket says you're not. Because they had already gone. So, you know, like the tunnel or whatever it's called between the plane and the airport.
Yeah.
They started walking. And then I was like the last one. But I was also the youngest of their group.
Sure.
And I showed my ticket. And she's like, oh, are you with them? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she goes, you're in economy. They're in first. And then I was like, what? And I start looking as though like, I need to run after them. And she goes, you know what? You start walking. I'm going to buzz them, as in the flight attendants,
yeah,
and you'll get bumped up. I was like, okay. And then I just walked, and then they sat me down. And I was next to, like I said, I did talk to them, so it wasn't strangers.
Yeah.
But they put me down next to the other youngest kid who was only a year older than me.
Oh, so you got to fly business class when you were how old? First class.
14. I've flown first class before, but it was okay. Nice to just get a free upgrade.
Yeah, that's lovely. Oh, I feel like your second one is the lie, but before I commit to that,
okay.
What exactly are your allergies, David?
Okay,
are you allergic to?
Okay, so there's quite a few. They aren't all birthday cake related, I should say, because some of them do sound weird. It'd be like, why is that a birthday cake?
Okay, sure.
So eggs.
Right, okay, that's in cake.
Especially ipecac, which is like something that comes from eggs.
Oh, now you're convincing me. Like, so who knows ipecac, a word like ipecac for a lie?
Ipecac is what they turn into, like, you know, stink bombs that people throw at, like, That's what they take. It's like the rotten egg smell.
Okay.
But it exists in eggs normally, but it's only once they rot that it activates.
Okay.
But that's what when it's in your body, like, it fucks you up and you're nauseous and you're puking and it's just ridiculous. And cakes are like, you can make a cake without it.
Yeah.
But it's probably gonna be a very niche cake and it probably won't taste very nice.
Okay. So what else are you allergic to?
Most shellfish. Again, there probably is some out there. It's with all allergies. It's like people, I don't have a peanut allergy, but there's a lot of people that have peanut allergies that like, oh, maybe there's a specific type of food you can have.
I think you're lying to me.
You think so?
I can see it in your eyes. I can see that you're telling fibs
to
me, David.
Well, let's bring a birthday cake in. And when I'm on the floor in anaphylactic shock, and none of the business, no one here knows what to do with my body, and this will be the first death on FUBAR Radio.
Well, you know what? When you start tucking into those Pringles and that sour cream dip you've got,
I did not have sour cream dip, girl.
I didn't see you check the ingredients. If you're so deathly allergic to all of these things.
Pringles are a name brand. Pringles... are not like, it's not like, ooh, what's this mysterious item? Let me just toss it in my mouth. Pringles have existed longer than me and you combined.
It's true. It's true. Pringles have been around a while. But I'm still calling bullshit. That is the lie. You have absolutely eaten birthday cake and you're not allergic to shellfish. That is bullshit.
You're right.
I knew it! Are you allergic to ipecac?
So that's the thing is, you probably technically can be allergic to ipecac. I'm not allergic to it, but you know how I said when stink bombs go off, everyone's like, oh, like, and they feel ill. So I'm very, very, very sensitive to ipecac. And so as a result, I will avoid foods with egg, but I'm not allergic and I won't get sick from it.
So
but,
you have had birthday cake.
Yeah, and especially if it's baked into something. So cakes, I can eat. It's more just like sunny side up eggs or something where it's just egg.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen you eat cake.
Yeah.
I think we've eaten cake together.
There was cake at Hannah Witten's.
There was cake at Hannah's and I watched you eat cake.
Yes.
Oh, should have seen right through your lies. All right, let's have some more music. Let's have a little bit of Iggy.
It's Iggy Ears. What you want? Look. Kicking the dough, waving the folk fizzy. They already know they can't fuck with Iggy. Cast more than the rent do, you know that. All black, I'm gonna come through, it's Kodak. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Ziggy the Ziggy, Iggy the baddest of them all. Why you come through, shut down the mall? All that ass deserving applause.
Change the game,
change it up now.
Change it up.
Your mama said you couldn't. Red light, yellow.
up the Lambda Bentley truck. He don't love you, that ring ain't big enough. If they tucking that money, I'm showing up. My account getting bigger, it's growing up. And I'm still a motherfucking rock star. Pop star, but they're wrong with the mobsters. Yacht club on the shore eating lobster. While I'm starting in Geneva with my top off.
So do you remember how I was saying that David is about 5 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So our next game is going to be themed on David's age. So this game is Queers Throughout the Years. And in this game, I read out some facts or fictions about LGBT plus history. So I've got five things here, and some of these are true and some of these are false. And David, I'm going to read them to you and you have to figure out which ones are true and which ones are false. But the theme for this week is toys, because David's still a child and he loves
sex toys.
It's not sex toys. We're keeping it surprisingly clean this week.
Because I'm 12?
Because you're 12 years old. I mean, we are going to be playing Porn or Not Porn and Sex Confessions next. But for now, we're keeping it relatively clean for you. So are you ready for your first fact or not fact?
Okay, go.
Sorry, that was really mean, okay. What the hell
yeah.
was that? Can you show a little bit of enthusiasm for the game? You shady little bitch. All right, your first one is. In the late 70s, the first openly gay doll was created. His name was Gay Bob. He was anatomically correct, and he was 12 inches tall. He wore a flannel shirt, had one ear pierced, and came with tight skinny jeans and cowboy boots. His box even came in the shape of a closet so that he would get the opportunity to come out to each and every person that owned him. David is nodding very, very confidently like he knows the answer to this.
Okay.
Go on.
Wait, where was the question? I thought you were just describing it like a Mattel toy.
Oh, no. So that's whether that's true
or
false.
Then, yeah, it's true. But I don't think his name was... I don't remember it being Gay Bob because I thought the whole controversy...
Uh-huh.
Or maybe just a similar description.
Okay.
Because there is like a... Something from Mattel, which was like, I don't know if it was, I think it might have just been Ken.
Okay.
Or like Ken's mysterious cousin that goes away for the winter. He has to go tend to the ranch in San Francisco. But the pierced ear was like controversy. The closet was controversy because his accessory was a closet.
Oh, okay.
So everything you were describing was accurate except the name. It definitely was not as overt as Gay Bob because the whole controversy was you basically made a gay Ken without actually calling him gay.
So the one you're referring to, when did that happen?
The 80s.
So this happened in the 70s.
Oh.
Or maybe it didn't happen in the 70s. Maybe then it fabricated
I'm
it.
I think whoever wrote this down has made it up based off the actual gay Ken. Because it's so similar.
So are you saying that this is true or are you saying that this is false?
I might be getting my facts wrong. Because I believe so much that it was like Ken's cousin or whatever it was, I'm going to say it's false.
Well, David.
Oh.
You are wrong. It was indeed true. In the late 70s, there was indeed the first openly gay doll, and his name was Gay Bob. And if you are listening, do have a little Google of him because he...
Is he hot?
He's ridiculous. He's not... I mean, he's a good-looking fella. He's not my kind.
Not my type.
He's quite masculine and quite buff. But apparently he's anatomically correct, so that means that he would have a penis. Which I'm very excited about because, you know, I used to undress my action men and I did too.
I think that's why we're the way we are.
I can't believe I'm about to admit this, but I actually took a little a little saw thing and I tried to like saw off my action man's underwear because I really wanted to see what he had on there.
Wait, you can just take them down, girl.
No, you can take the trousers down, but the underwear were like
mine
solid
did not have
plastic.
Underwear. Mine was commando G.I. Joe.
No, mine had like a green underwear, but it was plastic. So you couldn't take them off. So I was like soaring through it, trying to get to like the good stuff underneath. But there was no good stuff underneath.
Maybe I just like was so aggressive that I just like pulled out the window. I was like, it's now or never.
But he didn't have a willy, right?
No, he was like Ken. He was flat.
Yeah. So
he was definitely not wearing underwear though. So my G.I. Joe was not ready for duty.
Not ready for Doogie. No. Wow. So I would like to see a gay Bob. I would like to play with a gay Bob and see what he's got going on downstairs.
I have a few gay Bobs to hang out with.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Roberts?
Yeah.
Cute. All right, well, you got that one wrong, David. Your disappointment.
I have failed everything.
To your entire family. Your next one is... An advert in 2015 saw a boy playing with a Barbie doll for the first time in history. He excitedly turns to the camera halfway through the advert and mid-play and describes the doll as being so fierce.
Sorry, I got distracted because Gay Bob is on
screen.
Oh,
we've got Gay Bob on the screen. Oh, my God. And he does indeed.
Oh, my God. He's packing.
He's got a penis. And it's
the producer, her job, she's never seen a penis before in her life. She's just had her first anatomy lesson, and she did not know that's what they have.
She's very expressive and excited about Gay Bob. Wow. So, yeah.
It is so explicit. We can't even show this on camera. I'm pretty sure this is the one thing we can't show.
The thing is, like, it's really, like, accurate. Like, you can see the foreskin and you can see the head. Yeah, no, but you can see, like, the, what's it called? The ridge. Like, yeah. I forget what the name is for that. Like,
he doesn't have any pubic hair, though, so he's very maintaining himself.
And he's got a nice V going on.
It's a bit... sharp.
It's a very sharp V.
You probably cut yourself on that.
Yeah. Impressive.
Yeah. Calum's going to get circumcised on that V later.
I kind of want to see the ass as well. Like, I'm not really an ass man, but
I don't think
really
curious. I think it's going to be very just like flat with a slit.
Ass and a little slit. Well, shout out to Gay Bob.
He doesn't have a belly button either. Oh, this is... They put so much energy and focus into giving him a big dick. And they didn't give him a belly button. Like, they spent the whole budget on, like, okay, we need these exact measurements for his penis. And then the assistant ran in saying, he has no belly button. And the executive was like, Trisha, this is not the concern right now.
Yeah, well, they've said anatomically correct. And, like, I mean, that penis is pretty correct. But the rest of him is, like, who has a, like, gash like that running across their chest?
I like his knockoff, like, very 90s. Levi jeans with a button the size of like his head.
This was the 70s, David. The 90s know. Weren't even alive yet.
It is some Jenko jeans.
Yeah.
You didn't get that reference, did you?
I no idea. I just said yeah. Don't understand what David's saying ever. Well, I want to get my hands on one of these. I really do.
I know you want to get your hands on, and it's definitely not any... Yeah.
I think I googled the price earlier, and I think I saw that they were like outrageously expensive. I don't know if they were when they first
Suddenly,
came out.
Suddenly, your YouTube videos are like three a day. You're doing reaction videos. The Fine Bros are in court. Today, I'm reacting to my previous video. Jenko
jeans.
But misspelled, but those are Jenko jeans.
Jenko jeans.
J-N-C-O jeans. They're like super, like, massive.
Baggy at the bottom. Yeah. Not a fan.
If you have a flat ass, this is nice because you can just mask it. It's like, oh, I'm just wearing a Jenko jeans.
Not a good
I
look for Gay Bob.
I need to invest in Jenko jeans.
Apparently that look's coming back in. Like,
yeah,
apparently...
no, they've got so much money invested in them now.
Yeah.
And I saw girls on the train today wearing them. I think because before it was very masculine, a lot of guys were wearing Jenko jeans. Now it's girls.
Yeah, I just...
Should we answer the next question, girl?
I don't even remember what the next question was.
It was about the commercial.
All right, let me read it again to you. All right. An advert in 2015 saw a boy playing with a Barbie doll for the first time in history. He excitedly turns to the camera mid-play and describes the doll as being so fierce.
True. I saw that commercial.
Did you actually?
I shared it on Tumblr.
You're absolutely correct.
I got my first one right today!
Is that the first thing you've got right today?
Yes, you even got me on the Two Truths and One Lie.
You are officially the worst guest we've had so far.
Not the first time someone's told me
Congratulations, David. All right, your third one is... Lego sold a family playset in the late 90s that came with a small Lego house, a mother, a father... two children, and a little Lego Labrador. A factory malfunction, however, meant that the playsets were incorrectly sorted and many were sold as having two mothers or two fathers. After receiving hundreds of complaints from angry consumers, they released a statement claiming that this had been their intention all along. This, however, backfired by only aggravating people further and resulted in the Lego factory in Nebraska being burnt to the ground.
False.
Why do you think that's false?
Lego's not in Nebraska. Lego's definitely out of Sweden. And even if they... every time you smile at me, it's like, David, you're so wrong. Please try to something right today. So I'm definitely wrong on this, but I'm committing to my instinct. I think it's too intricate it's, I think it would have been more infamous, especially within the gay community.
Yeah.
I'm wrong as fuck, aren't I?
No, you are absolutely correct.
I'm on a roll, two out of a thousand.
And you know what? I was like, I was like, shall I put Nebraska or not? I was like, it's going to be like a really obscure. Yeah, I was like, it's going to be a really obscure place, really obscure location.
If there's any casting directors watching right now, and not for like Check Hunters or something, but like something like actual, like something like real, you should hire. He was so good. SNL just found their latest cast member. That was good for On the Spot.
Thanks. Yeah, sure. I would love to be on Check Hunter, if I'm honest. I'm joking.
You're meant to be like straight, though. Everyone knows you are.
Yeah, everyone knows I'm not straight. All right, your next one is, it is widely accepted that pink was a boy's colour up until World War II. It was during the war that Hitler said that pink was an unsightly and a masculine colour that was only fit for women. This statement alone caused the world to see pink as a girl's colour, and this is still something that we see in the colouring of children's toys today. True or false?
You couldn't see this because it was on camera, but I was dabbing.
You
dab
it. You dabbed throughout.
And saying true, true, true is true.
You think it's true?
Yeah.
Well, David, you are wrong. It is absolutely.
I will say, I didn't listen to the end of the question because I was dabbing. But the entire start, I was really into it and I was certain it was true.
It is absolutely not true. It is one of those common misconceptions. So there's this idea out there that Hitler hated the color pink. And that it was him who said that it's an emasculine
color. Did anyone make that statement?
Nobody made that statement. However, there's like a tiny, tiny shred of truth in it. And that's that during the Holocaust, gay men were made
pink
to wear
stars.
Pink triangles.
Oh, triangles. Yikes, that was my bad.
And that association of the pink triangle with gay people, which at the time being gay was seen as very bad, not just by Nazi Germany, but by other places in the world. So the association with pink and being a gay man got very closely tied together to the point that parents no longer wanted to dress their little boys in pink, even though that is what had been done since, you know, however many decades. So... over time, that disassociation of boys with the colour pink did cause a knock-on effect where blue became the colour for boys and pink became the colour for girls.
Do you want to know how I knew I wasn't going to get this right?
How?
Because when you started, you went, so pink. And I was like, so ready to answer a question about one of her songs.
Yeah, you were screwed over from the get-go.
Between that and the dabbing.
All right, you've got one last one.
Okay.
So you can redeem yourself.
I will still have a majority. It'll be 3 out of 5.
Okay.
So I have to get this.
In 2005... Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans were delighted to find that a range of action figures were being released. This was later followed by outrage when fans discovered that Tara and Willow, who were a lesbian couple in the show, were each romantically paired off with male characters in the adverts for the toys.
I think because... Well, I feel like the... Oh, I hate when you do those eyes. Do them to the camera. Where's
what
your...
eyes am I doing?
I don't even know. Eyes.
What eyes? I don't know what eyes I do.
He's going to put them on his Instagram story later, at Calvin Swiggin. Because he does these eyes when you're about to answer to make you... Like, it's... I feel like it's Medusa eyes or something.
It's like peering into your soul.
Yeah, and you really throw me off. I was going to say, I think... I'm looking away from you now on purpose. So I think that the... Buffy has such a big fandom that I feel like because it's a toy, it's true that they paired them up not with same sex but with opposite sex characters because it was the toy maker's decision and not the creators or the writers. I think if the creators or writers, they would have been more focused on keeping it canon, and keeping it true to the show. But as it's a toy maker, the toy maker probably is conservative or was aiming more at children rather than collectible keepers. So I'm going to say it's true that they didn't pair them up correctly.
Well, David, you are wrong. It is absolute complete fabrication. When the action figures were released, the Willow and Tara dolls were even sold together.
Cute.
Which is lovely,
that,
you know.
Isn't it? You know what? I'm glad I got that wrong.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got that wrong. It's important that I got all of those wrong because, like, it's amazing that Gay Bob exists. It's amazing that Tara and Willow are together. Like, they all live in the same gay toy. Seen this, like, gay, actual toy nightclubs?
Wait, dressing up? Like, wait, what?
No, they just all, like, hang out together. Like, because, you know, like, in Toy Story, all the toys, like, live together, like, in their own, like...
Oh, so, like, Ken and, like, that gay-as-fuck octopus, like, they
yeah,
all,
they
like...
Yeah, they all just, like, hang out together, like...
Jerk each other off with their eight arms.
Okay, I was thinking more, like, Dance the Bon Appetit, like, with, like, a drink in their hand, but...
You really want a bit of Bon Appetit,
no, it's... Okay,
you?
Basically, last night, and I sent this to Callum, but he had it on mute, so he wasn't able to appreciate, I was... I'm very proud that I'm not the best rapper. I can rap to High Bitch by Bad Baby, which
he's,
is...
He's doing that thing again. No idea what any of
it's the Catch means. Me Outside girl. There's this rap called... Actually, I'd rap, instead of Bon Appetit, can you please play High Bitch? Because we kept joking that it would play. It probably wasn't even on the database. Okay, it's called High Bitch, spelled H-I... I'm saying it to the producer. H-I space B-I-C-H.
No, no, you know what, David?
No,
nobody
it's so
cares.
Important.
No, no, nobody
it's
cares
the Catch Me Outside
about
girl. And so it's 2 minutes, and she got signed to Atlantic Records off the back of this, and it's ridiculous because she...
David, yeah. I'm going to play a song. No, yeah. I can't spell this. I don't know what.
I was so confused.
Trouble face, headphones on, forgetting time and place. All we wanted. Feeling stuck, set him free. Running out of luck on his knees. First time I kissed a boy, and now we're never known. Cover up his what they told.
Presents.
Back Room and Show with Johanna James.
I'm joined this week by
Q Samuel.
This is how much I like sleep. For my last birthday, I asked my parents. They were like, "What do you want?" I was like, "I really like some orthopedic pillows, and I'd like an extra foam mattress on top."
Oh, you're getting old.
They were like, "Okay, that's a really weird present, but all right." And I don't regret it. That was like the best present I've ever
I'm
had.
A bit jealous.
Thanks, mom. Thanks, mom, if you're listening. I sleep well. I sleep like my whole bed feels like a massive boob. It's great.
Every Friday,
Back Room and Show with Johanna James
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
I think what happened there just perfectly describes David and I's relationship.
It's all over
David,
the place.
David's saying a lot of things that I don't understand, and then me playing music over him to shut him up. So what was this song you were trying to play?
Okay, so basically, sorry, there was a bit of a moment there because there was producer notes and it's like content control. And for the first, I thought, oh my God,
David's in trouble. Something.
Yeah, I was like, I'm about to be kicked out of the studio. We found like finally the limit for the station. And the limit is a 14-year-old girl doing a rap where the chorus is just going, hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch.
You know, that would be absolutely fine on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, with I love it.
It's completely uncensored. That's why I'm here, David. Yes. All right, we're going to be doing some, speaking of being completely uncensored, we're going to be doing porn or not porn now. So I have got some clips here, David, and some of these are from pornography and some of these aren't from pornography. So it is the start of Movember today. So in honor of, you know, everyone growing out their facial hair, we want to know if these clips are from famous people with beards or porn. Yeah? Are you with me? I know it's quite a convoluted explanation there. Okay, so are you ready for your first porn or not porn?
Got it.
What do you think?
Because the sound effect on the backdrop, which I feel like might be cheating, but I'm going to say not porn.
But David, you may be surprised. Because
can we get a
sometimes,
replay on it?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes, you know, pornos, they have all kinds of, sometimes they have a theme, sometimes they have
this could be like a porn parody.
Yeah, could be anything. So here it is again.
No, I'm still saying it's going to be like, yeah, I'm saying horror movie.
So you think it's not porn?
It's not porn.
You are correct. It is Gandalf from Lord of the Rings.
I was going to say something like Beauty and the Beast. It's a very beastie noise.
Yeah, let's hear him again. Yeah, I can see a bit of Ian McKellen getting excited with his cane, you know, his wizard stick thing.
You have some weird crushes.
I would like to see what Ian McKellen looked like back in the day. I feel like he and I could have bumped wizard sticks. Yeah. All right, your next one is
replay.
Do you like that, David?
I'm really into it.
Does that turn you on?
I'm going to say porn.
You think that's porn? What makes you think that's porn, David?
I feel like it's on a certain like frequency, and like my brain was like, that's porn.
Yeah? You just were vibing off it.
Yeah.
And you really felt like that was porn. Mm-hmm. You are incorrect. That is Dumbledore from Harry Potter. Famous man with a beard.
I kind of get it. I'm really into this wizard.
Oh, we've got a picture of young Ian McKellen. That. And as I suspected, he's quite a handsome, young, dapper little fellow.
He looks just like, I have this friend who I always make fun of. I call him Tom Sett. Because for a year, I thought his name was Tom Sett. But that's just his surname. He has a poem site, by the way. I'm going to plug this. I probably shouldn't. But just go to his Instagram. It's called at Mr. Tom Sett. He said he would send me a butt pic if I promoted it. I'm kidding.
Did he really?
I'm kidding.
I don't think he is kidding. I think he's gone bright red. That's 100% true.
And it's like the best poems. It's really fun. So go look at them because he looks just like a young Ian McKellen.
Young Ian McKellen has like
Mr. Tom said on Instagram. Go check it out.
That jawbone, those cheekbones for days.
Yeah.
Like you could cut things on.
More
pictures. Oh, let's just look at pictures of
he's
young Ian McKellen.
He's definitely not my type.
He's such a cutie.
You two would look good together.
Yeah, we'd be a hot couple.
He's very tall though, isn't he? He's like 5 or 6.
I should have been born like. What, how many years? 40 years younger? 30 years younger?
60 years younger?
No, like 34. I'm a lot
like
older than you, David.
Now.
Anyway, that's enough about our friend Ian. There he is again. All right, are you ready for your next one? Okay, your next porn or not porn? It's nice and short.
It sounds like it'd be a sound effect what's it called? Oh, yes. It sounds like it would be... Like, what's that? Like one of those MC raps from like the 90s. And, like when they would have like, I like big butts and I kind of like that type of stuff. So it sounds like it's porn, but it's probably like porn sound number 18 on one of those like sound sites.
So I don't understand if you're saying.
Sounds like it is porn, but it's probably like really cheap, tacky porn.
Oh, so it's like, you know how you have like canned laughter, which they use for like sitcoms and things.
So this
probably
is use like that as
canned
like a porn
orgasm.
Noise. Yeah.
I see what you mean because I feel like I've heard that noise a lot. Well, David, you are indeed correct. And it says here that this is from Sex with Naked Bald Men. Which
not
is
my type, but
my favorite.
I'll check it out later.
I frequent that video. I do enjoy that one. All right, your next one is. Okay.
That sounds like it's illegal.
I'm puzzled. For a second, I thought I'd hit the wrong button, but this is indeed...
One more time, I really got to concentrate on it.
Okay, here you go.
Okay, the reason it's throwing me off is because it sounds so young. Like, it makes me so uncomfortable. Like, I don't know, like, I feel like we're on a watch list now for just hearing that noise. because of that reason, I'm going to say it's porn.
Yeah, I
really hope it's not, but it sounds like it is.
I'm really hungry. This one's made me really uncomfortable. You are wrong. It's not porn, and I'm really
that
pleased.
Really happy.
I'm really pleased that it's not porn because Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's apparently Tom Hanks in Castaway. You know, when he has the big beard.
I thought it was like a six-year-old girl.
It sounded like a six-year-old girl, and I think the tension in the studio was like, oh, dear God.
Yeah.
But I think this is from when he's shouting Wilson or something. You know, the ball.
Is it like part of him saying the word Wilson?
It might be, yeah.
Oh, I think it's the part of Wilson. Yeah, pretty much giving it off.
But it does sound like a six-year-old girl, and I just felt all kinds of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So let's moving swiftly on. Oh.
Again?
Oh.
Can this be my new ringtone? Can we have this sent to me later?
I want that one and the other one together. Hang on.
I think this is the instrumental
great,
for Hi Bitch by Bad Baby. I'm going to say, because it's so, again, it sounds like generic porn noise 18.
It does sound like a generic, they both do, because they go so well together, yeah. Don't they? Great, beautiful. So yeah. you think this one's porn?
Yeah.
Well, you are correct. And this one is just labelled men jerking off loudly.
Who would have thought I would have been bad at two truths and a lie, bad at guessing like gay history, and the one thing I'm sort of good at is thinking about porn noises.
Well, David, you've made a career from yourself from Tumblr, so I'm not surprised at all. Tumblr is made of porn.
Yes. That's Tumblr. Like 80% of these ways.
You know, I use Tumblr. You're going to laugh at me, but I use Tumblr as like when I need a bit of me time, I'm like, I'm going to go and read like some political humor on Tumblr.
And
I'll sit and I'll scroll through it. But like when I tell friends this, they're like, wait, you use Tumblr for stuff other than porn? Like people genuinely think it's just a porn website.
Yeah.
But, you know, between my political humor, there will be like a bit of rimming and, you know, a bit of fisting or someone being tied up, you know. Huh?
Never mind.
Don't know what you just said.
Too soon.
Mary has written into the show. She says she is loving this. David tells a great story and Callum is a great host.
Oh,
love
heart. Thank you, Mary.
I think we make a good team, David. That's a lie. I think we make the worst
team. Well, no,
team.
It's only because if we ever did another game, you would win again.
Well, yeah, I adore you, David. But I just don't understand you.
If you can remember, when you were a guest on Hannah Winton's show,
yes.
Did you win the games that she hosted?
I do not remember. Maybe. Yeah, probably. I feel like I'm quite good at games. I'm all right. The producers say that I was quite good at them. Yeah, I like a game.
Okay, so I just suck then.
You do just suck. There you go. That was just for you. All right, let's have a little bit of Midnight City by M83.
Love this song.
We'll be right back.
I am so, so happy that you picked that song,
oh,
David.
Isn't it just incredible?
I love that song. That song is like one of my favourite songs of all time because it was when I was living in Switzerland as an English teacher. And that song was like really big at the time. And then after I finished that job, I kind of went interrailing for a bit. So I basically lived on trains for the next couple of months and just like listening to that song like all the time on the trains, like going through cities and seeing all the pretty lights. And oh, it just so much nostalgia.
And just to clear things up, Callum wasn't talking about Midnight City there. We were playing a High Bitch by Bad Baby inside the studio.
Yeah, that's the song that brings me back. It is. All right, we are going to do some sex confessions now. So thank you so much to everybody who has sent in their confessions. We're going to read through them and react. So the first one we have here. I love using body paints in bed. Drawing over my partner, neon rave body paints are so fun to use. We put music on, paint designs on each other, and then have mental sex, which sometimes messes up our drawings, but it's totally fine. Super fun. I highly recommend. And highly is in capital letters. Sounds like a great time.
Yeah, and honestly, if she's worried about it messing up the drawing, just let it dry a bit more.
Well, I think
it's liquid. I feel like it's a thing where it's like, as far as I'm aware, body paints are either the completely flat one, where, again, just let it dry, or if it's the one where it's like embossed, as in like, or if that's the right word, where it's a bit like 3D element to your body,
yeah,
like
yeah.
pushed out. Again, if it dries, because there's like, they do whole restaurants where like they do sushi on a girl covered in body paint, and they can't put sushi on her until it's dry. So, if
I don't know though, like I feel like when you're, you know, like when you're having sex, you're going to be like rubbing and gyrating off each other. There's going to be a lot of like sweat involved. And I can just like, I feel like it's going to get messy regardless of what you do. I actually, when I was at university, I had, I met this gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful Polish guy. I'm not going to say his name. And he was like 6'5" tall. He was giant. He was absolutely massive and he was absolutely stunning. And he was, I think the movie Avatar had recently come out and he was like so into that. He was like super into like nerdy stuff and things like that. Avatar is in the big blue people and not the little boy with magic powers.
That movie came out before us.
And yeah, he was super, super into it. And he had actual like UV lights in his room because he liked to paint his whole body blue and then like put on all these neon paints and then have sex with people.
Would that come off?
I don't know because he invited me over to go and do it and like I was so super into it but like it for whatever reason it just never ever happened and he was so hot and I really missed out like I would have loved to have been painted up and had some fun with him. He was
I don't know, it's I don't know if I'd necessarily do it. I don't think I'd go out of my way to try that.
But, like, I think, like, it's just fun, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like, I think, like, if someone was like, you know what? Like, it seems like a spice it up type moment. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that on the first date, but somewhere down the line, if someone throws, like, oh, it might be just a one-off, maybe.
Yeah, like, I think it's a fun thing to do with somebody. Like, I don't think I would be particularly turned on by it.
Not
but, like,
either.
I think it would be, like, fun and something, like, it's like a fun, intimate, almost romantic
well,
thing to do with somebody.
The person who sent this in said it messes up the drawings. I don't think it does. It creates a new drawing. That's a half-glass full type of way to look at it. It creates a new drawing. It doesn't mess anything up.
Yeah, together you create art. You
exactly.
create beautiful, beautiful art.
It's abstract art and I'm into it.
Yeah, you should photograph that and put it online. Absolutely do not photograph
tag
it
us.
And put it online. You tag us. If you do that, do make sure we are
at
tagged.
At Callum McSwiggan on Instagram, at David Olshanetsky on Instagram. Good luck spelling my surname.
They struggle spelling my first name. Mind your surname.
When I said I was coming on this show on Tumblr, I should say my Tumblr's name, by the way. TheShitneySpears.com. So it's like Britney Spears, but The Shitney Spears. I love her, by the way. That's why we got Stronger on earlier. But when I said I was coming on here earlier, the first reply within half a second was, both those names are made up. I do not believe this.
Yeah, we do have very fake-sounding names.
Yeah.
One of the top... you know, like when you search your name in Google and like it gives you like the autofill data. Mm-hmm. So mine is like Callum McSwiggan YouTube, Callum McSwiggan Instagram, Callum McSwiggan Birthday. Callum McSwiggan's real name.
Really?
That is
well, a lot of YouTubers have fake names like Shane Dawson and stuff like that.
Is Shane Dawson not his real
He's
name?
He's very public. His real name is Shane Yaw. But when he started, he was like 16, so he didn't want people to know his name.
I didn't know that.
Shane Yaw, girl.
Ah. Oh, well, shout out to Shane Yaw. Okay, yeah, and I mean, fair. And but if I was going to come up with a fake name, why would I go for Callum McSwiggan? Like, I'd go for, like, Callum Smith or Callum...
Loveheart.
Blue Tit. You know, something...
We went two very different routes.
Yeah, McSwiggan seems like a bit of a stretch. So does Olshanetsky. Did I get it right?
No, Olshanetsky, bro.
Olshanetsky.
Repeat, wait, do like a full name, go for it.
David Olshanetsky.
Boom, got it.
Got it, nailed it. All right, let's have another confession. My boyfriend likes to always have a spliff before we have sex. I have no problem with it, and I know all his reasons why. We've talked about it a few times. I just want him to not smoke. Maybe just once and be on my level, if that makes sense. He's a new boyfriend, so I'm not sure how to say it. Any advice? So I would say that I think you're absolutely right. I think it's wonderful that you respect his right to do that and his respect. You know, if he wants to get high before he has sex with you, you know, and you're supportive of that, that's amazing. But I think it's also important that he also should respect that you want to be on the same level, and maybe you don't want to get high with him. So yeah, I think you are absolutely in the right to say, hey, sometimes can we have sex without using drugs, which I think is a very, very reasonable thing to ask somebody. Yeah, go on, David.
I was just gonna say, like, it seems like it's such a simple request to just, can we do something once we're both, and I know it sounds like pushing it, but it's like comfortable. She's clearly not comfortable with him doing it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think she's emphasizing the fact, it's not like she doesn't want him to do it, period. It's just not necessarily before sex and not every time.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's not that difficult to say.
Yeah, I think and to be honest, I think I don't know why I'm assuming this is a woman.
Yeah,
either.
Same. I assumed it was as well.
Like, this is an LGBT show, and I've just assumed that this person.
We've been very problematic this episode.
So this could be male, could be non-binary. Anyway, this person, I think it's great that they. It's a wonderful thing that they're being so accepting. I know if I was dating somebody, and they wanted to get high all the time before sex, I don't know if I would personally feel comfortable with that. So mm-hmm. I think it's great that you're saying, yeah, we can do this sometimes, but you know, but I think just be very gentle and approach the conversation in a very respectful way, and you know, explain how you feel and explain why you feel that way. I think that's important.
And I think it's good that it seems like her biggest issue with him is just this. She's not saying, you know, if that's her biggest annoyance with him,
that's
a good thing.
We're calling her female again.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm being so messy.
This is probably
a guy. This individual.
Why are we so heteronormative? Like, two gay men.
I know.
And
yeah.
We're just assuming that this is a heterosexual relationship. It's just drilled into us. Mm-hmm. God damn the straights. Anyway, continue what you're saying.
So this individual, at least it's positive that it seems like this is their biggest issue at the minute.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and again, it seems like this individual's issue isn't them doing it, but more so the issue is before sex.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, just...
And maybe emphasize that fact when discussing it, being like, I don't mind you doing it. It's just not right now.
Yeah. And just make yourself clear and explain your feelings. I think that's the... Like we say almost every single week, communication is key. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not going to be the easiest conversation to have, but yeah. David?
Yes?
Do you have a sex confession for me?
Okay, so the thing is, I'm such an open book. If anyone has a question, send it to me. Like I said, my Tumblr is theshitneyspears.com. Slide into my DMs. They're open on everything. Calum's laughing. So yes, I will share something, but it's just like I'm so bad at like on the spot stuff sometimes.
Okay.
So I think the one I can share right now is not necessarily a sex confession, but something from a sex like no, that makes it sound worse. Basically, let's just go into the story.
Go ahead.
So I went to, and it's not even necessarily just about me, but I'm not gonna say anyone's name, obviously. But I went to a party in high school once. Well, I say high school, American term. We were of age.
Yeah.
Sixth form is the term here. So we went to a party, and this girl's house was incredible. She had like 7 bathrooms on like one floor. It was like that type of house. Like, it was just a ridiculous mansion. And like I said, because there were so many bathrooms, she had normal bathrooms for people to puke in or whatever. And then she had one bathroom that was designated with a sign on the door on a piece of paper
as sex bathroom. Nice.
She said, if people are having sex in here, then that's fine. Just don't do it to any of the other ones.
Sure.
But it got to the point where there were so many people that when you wanted to use that bathroom, because you needed to use the bathroom, it was just like knocking for ages. And this party was a bit like in the suburbs. So we had to like really pre-book a taxi, like really make sure we got home safe. And so I'm like, oh my God, where's one of our friends? Because it was like six of us leaving together at the same time. And then someone goes, did you check the bathroom? We knock, and all I see is the door slide open, and the friend like pulls out, not pulls out physically, pulls their head out of the door and goes, just like two more minutes.
Wow. Yeah. That's good. But you didn't actually partake in the sex bathroom. As a hesitation. That
I
means,
didn't have
yes.
sex in that bathroom.
Okay.
That's
a very clever answer, David. Yes. Well, you should be a politician.
Yes. I'm very Taylor Swift that way.
I like the idea that there's a designated place for sex. I know at my, not the Halloween party I threw this year, but the Halloween party I threw last year, the bedroom, my bedroom, I said...
Of course, it was your bedroom.
But I said, you know, if anyone
wants... He didn't change the sheets as well. When he went to bed, he just really enjoyed it.
But I was just like, you know, people have sex at parties, and you can either be open about that and be like, look, here's a place to have sex if you want to have sex. Or you can have people fuck in your kitchen. You know, that those are your options.
Okay, that's a bit of an extreme. Just so anyone knows, if you ever get invited to one of my parties, which are very few, I don't have that many, but if you do get invited to one of my parties, please don't have sex either in my kitchen or in my bedroom. We're not going to have a sex bathroom, but like, it's not that long. Just call an Uber girl. Just go home. Like, you had a great time. Like, I don't want you to just sit there with like a boner or whatever. Just be like, you know what, David, this was so fun. Like, we'll talk tomorrow. I'll text you when I get home so you know I'm home safe. I'm going to go have sex now.
No, but like I think like half the fun of going to somebody's house party is going and having sex in their house.
Oh
like,
my God, that's a like... fetish. We just found a new fetish. Add that to next week's like final Latin term for it.
Having sex in other people's
lack
houses.
Lack of uberous sexist.
Oh my God, I had a house party once and I had sex with this guy and like we were in my bedroom with the door closed and we were enjoying ourselves and it was the kind of like fully naked, no inhibitions kind of sex, right? And then we like fall asleep cuddling and then I wake up the next day and my friend is literally passed out down the side of the bed.
Relatable.
And we just had no idea that he was there. So that was a thing. House parties are great. House parties, you know.
Yeah, honestly, clubs are really overrated sometimes. Like, I really think if there was more, like, house parties that were just, like... sorry, I need to stop looking through the window at the producers.
He won't look at me. Yeah, he's just looking at our beautiful producer.
I just adore her. She's so fun. Can she be your guest one week?
Yeah. I think
that would be
a
really fun one.
I think
she's saying no, but she needs to be. So, I want to hear her sex confession. She needs to email in. Email in. It's not too late. callum@foobarradio.com. I'm waiting for it, girl. So clubs and especially bars, because I'm not a big fan. I don't really go to bars if I pre-drink it at someone's house.
Yeah.
So it goes, in my opinion, house parties, clubs, bars.
They can't see your hand.
I said it in the order. They can see the order I said it in. It goes house parties first.
Yeah.
Then clubs, middle, and then bar list.
I'm with you. I completely agree with that. Like, there's nothing better. If a house party's done right, like, you need, like,
a good
amount of people.
If I had two events on the same night and people were like, house party or a club, I'd pick that one. But the thing is, as well, normally people end around, like, midnight or whatever, and that leaves perfect time to go to the club
if
you
want
to.
Yeah. And, you like, a house party always comes with so many stories. Like, people have so many stories to tell after.
Yeah.
You know, go out to the club. Sometimes you get stories, and sometimes it's like, we just danced in the club
the
for
worst,
3 hours.
No, I won't say the worst house party, because the party itself was fun. But this is kind of like a second sex confession, so you're getting two out of me, honestly.
Oh, here we go. Squeezing him for all he's worth.
And it's not even about... this is another story that's not really about me, so it's kind of a cheat. I think these two halves combined to make one. Once I went to a party for someone's birthday, and there's a lot of people, and they afterwards went to... And I'm not shaming them, but I'm just saying the entire... I was invited very last minute. They just went to XXL after. It's a club in London that has a dark room.
Uh-huh.
And it just made me, like, it was so awkward because it was like normally, like, oh, let's pre-drink so we can go to a club to see, like, a B-list pop star or, like, an X Factor contestant perform
sure.
on stage and then, like, dance to, like, Bon Appetit or Hi, Bitch by Bad Baby. But instead, it was, like, the entire pre-drinking element was so that they could go to a club purposely just to go into the dark room.
Hey, look,
I don't want you to sound angry. I'm not showing it on for it. I'm just saying it was very different to go to a party where it felt like the entire purpose was to pre-drink.
But wait. There's a lot of assumptions going on there, David. I've been to XXL just to dance to Bad
no,
Baby
but I was
or
there
whatever
for,
it is.
I know the teasers. I didn't do, I will say straight up right now, hand on the Bible, hand on Taylor Swift 1989 CD. I did not do anything in that room.
Yeah,
I
for sure.
swear on my life. However, basically everyone who went did. So that entire purpose, because not everyone went to the club, so that's what I'm saying. The people who did carry on to go to the club were. It's like they spent the entire pre-drinking just preparing for that.
That was a great story.
Yeah.
Well, Mary who tweeted in earlier, really thought that.
All right, I'm going to give you a little bit of Hurricane. There's a place way down in Red Star.
Favorite album.
Oh, such a love.
Callum
love,
knows me
obsessed.
Too.
Yeah, I chose that song just for you.
I appreciate it. I love it.
All right, we've got a few more sex confessions, but we've only got a few minutes left. So let's see if we can get through these, David. So the first one is, I had sex with a guy recently and he ripped my new jeans. It was such great sex. I'm not the type of person to not say something. I'm seeing him soon. How do I not rip his throat out? I think you're really angry about these new jeans.
I wish there was more context on who the guy was, like if it was a boyfriend or like, because like,
I feel like it was like a first date or somebody that again, why am I going heteronormative?
Yeah.
Somebody there having sex with.
Because if it was a one night stand and you're never seeing this person again, it's a bit of a reach to text them and be like, can you buy me new jeans or something? But if it is someone you're seeing again and again and again, it might not be a reach to, even if in just like a playful manner.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, by the way, my favorite jeans.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good approach to it. Like just like, be quite playful about it, like, and just have fun with it, but while also being like, oh, but you
leaving
genuinely
room for,
did. Yeah. Good advice, David.
For once.
Somebody else has written in and said, I like to masturbate in front of the mirror. That fetish is me. And that's in relation to the fetish we were talking about earlier, which is, it's called catroptronophilia, which is the arousal to having sex in front of mirrors. So, like, that's really cool. That's like they would like jerk off in front of the mirror and get turned on by it. Like, I wish I could do
confidence
that.
Confidence level high.
Like, because I don't need porn. I could just, like, anywhere, just, like, whip a mirror out and I'm good to go.
Cal would no longer need internet. Like,
yeah,
he would just cancel his internet.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm not paying for Wi-Fi. Got a mirror. All right, our last one for today is, I just went traveling and had a lot of sex. Zero regrets. I'm too scared to go get tested. I need a motivational speech for you guys to make me go. You absolutely must go and get tested. It's so important, and it's so easy.
The peace
to
of
do.
Mind it mm-hmm. gives you after any. So I'm someone who's really like hates blood being drawn. Doesn't matter if it's for any kind of like going abroad where they have to check your blood samples before you go. It does not matter what it's for. Even donating blood, like it's just like the most ridiculous thing. I don't want to see my blood. I hate losing when I was kid, losing my teeth because I hate seeing blood. But it is so worth it, especially if it's like an HIV test or whatever.
Just, HIV test is so a simple thing. You say blood like there's going to be loads.
Yeah,
like
it's not. I'm really, and I'm saying that because that's my biggest fear. That's why I'm making it sound a lot more dramatic. It is not that difficult. As my someone with the biggest fear being blood, you know, the peace of mind you have after of just like knowing like at least I know my status.
Yeah, and that's the thing. No matter what your result is when it comes to your sexual health, even if you find out you're positive for any kind of virus or even HIV, mm-hmm. it's better that you know because then you can treat it. And there are so many amazing treatments out there.
You can't do anything until you know.
Yeah. Whatever happens, it's going to be good news. Even if you find out you're HIV positive, for instance, it's not a bad thing that you'll find out because you can then mm-hmm. treat yourself. So absolutely go get tested. Please go get tested, especially if you've been having a lot of sex, especially if it's been unprotected. Really important.
Most places you book appointments now. It'll be fast.
Yeah. Well, David, great advice out of you. And it's been such a pleasure having you on this
show.
I had
so much fun.
I had a lot of fun.
I always loved listening to this, and now I get to be a part of it, and it was so much more fun.
And I literally had no idea what you were talking about for half of the show, but I did understand one thing.
Ooh, I'm
and
into
that
it.
Is that you went on and on about this song, and I have no idea what it is, but I've managed to get it for you, David.
Bang, bang, into the room. Banger!
So go follow David The Shitney Spears on Tumblr. Is that correct?
TheShitneySpears.com on Twitter. Okay. I'm at Written by David, and my Instagram is David Olshanetsky, Olshanetsky. Boom.
There you go. And here is, what's it called? High Bitch.
Bitch by Bad Baby.
White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. High bitch, high bitch, high bitch, high bitch. I do not sniff it or roll it.
Nope.
It do not drip when I pull it.
Nope.
I do not run, I reload
it. Nope.
I do not save it, I throw it. White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse, high bitch, high bitch, high bitch, high bitch. Please stop, please stop, please stop, please stop.
Stop that shit.
That fit look like you bought it at IKEA.
Was it on sale though?
And it got a nerve to ask why she has.
Wow.
Why you counting all that money that we got? I ain't worried about no basic bitches. All y'all look like still fly spirit. All y'all must not have looked in the mirror. All y'all looking but the windows tinted like.
Hi, bitch.
I don't know what made I haters.
Hi, bitch.
Play if you want, but you know I ain't playing like. White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch. I do not sniff it or roll it.
Nope.
It do not drip when I pull it.
Nope.
I do not run, I reload
nope.
it.
Nope.
I do not save it, I throw it. White J's, white Porsche, white wrist. White horse, high bitch, high bitch, high bitch, high bitch.
Grown as hell and you still hating. I look at you and thank God I made it like. High bitch. High bitch.
What you know about it? What you know? What you know about it? What you know? What you know about it?
Born cars.
What you know about it?
Out of some money.
What you know about it?
Trap house.
What you know about it?
You don't know about it.
Cuban link.
You don't know about it.
Tiger mink.